This is the son of PCJ. Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perrell.
Hello and welcome. It's very nice to have you with us once again. This week we're going to focus on KNLS, a private shortwave station that broadcasts out of Anchorage, Alaska. Then we're going to delve into the archives with an interview recorded in 1967 with Harry Van Gelder, the host of DX Jukebox that used to air on Radio Netherlands. We also have the details of our contest, 7 Receivers in 7 Months, so stay tuned. This is Media Network Plus. Now come on everyone, grab my hand, let's go and dance. But I should warn you in advance, I do have 2 left feet. First, here's Paulette with a look at some of the headlines from the world of media.
Press TV, Iran's 24-hour English language news channel on the Hotbird satellite provider, has been interrupted. Interruption of the broadcast of Press TV programs began at 1100 hours Greenwich Mean Time on May 19th. Press TV has learned that the cause of the interruption is the presence of a clean carrier on the IRIB package. In addition to Press TV, the broadcast of other international Iranian channels, including Al Alam, Islamic Republic of Iran News Network, and Al Kausar, have also been interrupted. This is not the first time IRIB signals have been interrupted in recent months. Press TV did not give any other details. The United States has criticized China for its continuing rights violation in Tibet. The U.S. State Department's 2011 annual Human Rights Report, released on May 24, 2012, states there was severe repression of the freedom of speech, religion, association, and movement in Tibet. The 19-page section on Tibet says the Chinese government continued to jam radio broadcasts of Voice of America's and Radio Free Asia's Tibetan and Chinese language services in some Tibetan areas, as well as the overseas-based Voice of Tibet. In Tibetan areas of southern Gansu province and in Sichuan province, police confiscated or destroyed satellite dishes suspected of receiving VOA Tibetan language television, as well as VOA and RFA audio satellite channels. CNN is eager to show off the success it has had overseas amid the domestic primetime rating slide, which it blames on a slow news agenda compared with 2011. Its global network, CNN International, available in more than 265 million households across more than 200 countries, has reported record growth in audience and ad revenues this year. CNN International is profitable, and the first quarter was the highest on record for the unit in ad revenue, which it forecasts will show double-digit growth this year. CNN International accounts for 20% of CNN's global revenue. Online, CNN is the fourth largest news and information organization in worldwide traffic, behind the combined networks of Yahoo and ABC, and those of the New York Times and the AOL Huffington Post Media Group, according to Comscore, a digital marketing intelligence supplier. CNBC Africa, the Pan-African financial and business channel, celebrated 5 years of continental business broadcasting across Africa on June 1, 2012. Launched on June 1, 2007, CNBC Africa is reportedly Africa's first and still the only real-time continental financial and business news network. Part of the global CNBC family, which reports around the clock from major financial centers worldwide, it boasts bureaus in Johannesburg, Cape Town, Nairobi, Lagos, Abuja, Windhoek, Libreville, Lusaka, and Maputo. The channel covers business and financial market news from 3 regions across the continent and can be described as a forum where the news of Africa's business world is announced and debated while presenting a view of the continent. CNBC Africa has grown beyond all expectations since it was launched 5 years ago, and everyone on the CNBC Africa team is justifiably proud of the respected media brand that they have all helped to create. CNBC Africa will mark its anniversary on air in several ways, including documentaries, memorial testimonials by the network's reporters, and anchors of the most memorable events of the past 5 years, and short scenes featuring Africa highlights. In Malaysia, the international television news you watch may not be the same television news watched across the rest of the world. It appears that the major broadcast networks beamed into the country, including BBC, CNBC, Australian Broadcasting, Al Jazeera, and other international news feeds, are put on a 5-minute tape delay while electronic devices scan the broadcast for objectionable keywords, including the name of the opposition leader, Anwar Ibrahim. The censoring of news came to public notice during the April 28th Bursai 3.0 rally to protest what the NGO claims are Malaysia's unfair election laws. When violence broke out, Al Jazeera reporter Harry Fawcett attempted to film police beating protesters into the ground. However, Fawcett was roughed up and his own camera was pushed to the ground. When the episode was shown on the Al Jazeera broadcast that night, an Al Jazeera spokesman said the police violence had been excised in Malaysia. It appears that a similar BBC film was also edited to remove police beatings, other sources say. All of the major news feeds are routed through Astro, the Malaysian direct broadcast satellite pay television service, which is owned and operated by MESAT Broadcast Network Systems. It in turn is wholly owned by a subsidiary of Astro Holdings SDN BHD, controlled by Malaysia's richest man, the reclusive businessman Tatpatarandam Anandakrishnan, a longtime friend and close associate of former Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad, as well as a long string of UMNO cronies. If you'd like more information on these and other stories, check out the Kim Andrew Elliott Media blog. Just go to www.pcjmedia.com and you'll find a link at the bottom of our homepage. I'm Paulette Macquarie.
And you're listening to Media Network Plus, heard worldwide on the World Radio Network, Sirius XM in North America, Sky Digital in the UK, on shortwave and through a number of partner stations worldwide. It's nice to have you with us. KNLS is a private shortwave station operating out of Anchorage, Alaska in the United States. The station beams its programs to Russia, China, and the Pacific. But shortwave being what it is, it's also heard in many other parts of the world. Now, yes, it's true they are a Christian station, but they're very different from the others. It's different because they are non-denominational. While I was in the United States in March, I met up with Paul Ladd, and we sat down for about an hour, to talk about KNLS, its mission, programming, and audience.
Calling. Thanks for making your new life station a part of your Monday. Broadcasting from the top of the world, this is KNLS, Anchor Point, Alaska, USA. I'm Lucy Grant, your host for this.
Well, KNLS is an international shortwave station. We do an hour programming. We do a 1 hour program each day in English, another one in Chinese, Mandarin Chinese, and Russian. We do magazine format. And we broadcast the good news, Christian message to the world.
Now, a moment ago you were saying to me it's quite different from the other Christian broadcasters out there.
It is, and they have what works for them, we have what works for us, and, you know, doesn't mean anybody's better or worse, it just means we're different. And what we do is our programming is 1 hour. And about a third of it is devotional teaching type segments. These are religious in nature, of course. You're not going to hear any denominational or sectarian agenda. Then we have about the third pop music, because we have found that people in other countries like American pop music. Now, obviously, some songs you're not going to hear on our station because they're talking about things that are, shall we say, naughty or have some naughty words in them. Of course, we're not going to air that. The other third of our programming is feature-type segments, similar to National Public Radio for listeners in America.
But that would be focusing on Christian topics, correct?
Yes and no. We do sometimes. For instance, we've had interviews with Dr. Gary Chapman, who's a family counselor and author. We've had him on. We've also had Senator Joseph Lieberman on, talking about his book, The Gift of Rest. It's about the Sabbath, so I guess that is a faith-based segment. But we've interviewed a lot of interesting authors. We've talked about body language. We've talked about why people are fascinated with celebrities. We've done movie segments, interviewed musical artists. The last third of our programming is what we would call news feature type segments, similar to what you'd hear on National Public Radio if you were listening in the United States. We will have authors on. We'll have artists. We do stories about culture, you know, visual art, musical artists, anybody we can get to sit down with us. And when I am putting together a segment, the first thing I think about, Keith, is would I want to listen to this stuff? And if I don't want to listen to it, I figure other people are going to find it more. I try to make it interesting. You know, I do my part. I just hope the audience likes it.
Now, you said you broadcast over shortwave. I mean, we've seen so many cuts happen in shortwave. The BBC, Radio Netherlands, the VOA cut back on frequencies dramatically, some of them even going off air, like Radio Sweden, recently Radio Bulgaria. Why is this station still focused on shortwave so much?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because a lot of the people we're trying to reach are people who live in remote areas. The stations, their local media is controlled by the government, so they're not even allowed to hear some of the stuff that we would be doing. But if they've got a shortwave radio, they can pick us up. Shortwave radio can cross geographical boundaries that a lot of other stations simply cannot. And we're committed to it because we want to reach people. We have a good message, we have good news, and we want to get it to good people. And that is the way we figure to do it. We are very committed. Our president, Charles Caudill, recently spoke to the HFCC, and he pointed out that we're not interested in, you know, promoting a government point of view. We're interested in reaching people with this message, and we still think this is the best way to do it.
And I think one of the advantages, and I heard somebody say this, they said, well, if you're going to be leaving shortwave, that's better for us. Less interference for us. Thank you, guys.
That was a quote from Charles in his article, I believe it was published in Radio World later.
欢迎您收听生命之光广播电台。生命之光是世界各地的一群基督徒组成的。电台在美国阿拉斯加州的安克角，电台的总部和录音室在美国田纳西州的法兰克林市。我们很高兴天天为您制作节目，也希望您在听完节目之后来信告诉我们您的感想。现在就请您欣赏这个小时的华语节目。
How many hours a week do you produce? Because you said you produce 1 hour in English. What about the other languages?
Each of our three existing services, which are English, Mandarin, Chinese, and Russian, do a one-hour show each day. And they're recorded in advance, so it's not live. And we do the 1 hour each day, so we do 7 hours a week, but it's broadcast several times on different frequencies in order to reach different people. We have broadcast, the English hour I know is broadcast 4 times daily, the Russian hour 6 times daily, and the Chinese hour 10 times daily on different frequencies from our 2 transmitters in Anchor Point, Alaska. We will be adding, once the Madagascar World Voice station is on the air, we'll be adding Arabic programming, and we'll be adding some African English, because most of the countries in Africa, English is their common second language. Mm-hmm. There are hundreds of languages in Africa. It would be impossible to broadcast in all of them. We will also be doing some Spanish and Portuguese programming. We have a Spanish program now that airs out of Miami on WRMI. It's once a week. And Rex Morgan, who's our senior producer for Spanish, is the host of that program. And we'll be doing an hour a day once Madagascar or World Voice is on the air.
What kind of power do you have at the relay in Alaska?
Very high. I believe they said it's 1,000,000 watts. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. So 100 kilowatt
yes,
transmitters.
That sounds right, yes. I'm not the technical guy, but we get listeners from all over. We've had mail from more than 200 countries and every state in the union. And we never know, because of the way shortwave frequencies skip and all that sort of thing, we never know where we're going to get listeners from. Now, granted, we always know we'll be hearing a lot from Japan and Australia and the Far East, but we get some from Europe, the States. We have a lot of listeners in India, Canada. So we hear from all of them.
When your programming goes out in these different languages, is it all produced here in the United States, or do you also have, let's say, studios overseas where that will contribute to those programs?
In Madagascar, there will be some local programming. Most of the programming will still be produced at our production center in the United States. Almost all of our programming is in-house. There is a movie segment and a science segment that are produced by another company or another entity. But our feature segments, musical segments, all that sort of thing, we do it all in-house.
The plans for the future... You said you have a number of languages right now. Do you see the stations, let's say, because you'll have the Madagascar relay, you said you're going to, of course, add more hours in English. Do you think the possibility is there to even maybe add, let's say, French for Africa, which is also widely spoken, and let's say Portuguese?
Those are being discussed. Portuguese, definitely, and French is also a possibility. We want to reach as many people as we can. Obviously, it's impossible for our organization, or any group for that matter, to broadcast in every language there is on the earth, because there are hundreds. But we want to reach as many people as we can, and French is under consideration also. And we're also hoping at some point to reach people in the States, because there are a lot of ethnic communities from different countries that come to America. And their native tongue is still their primary tongue. We want to be able to reach them as well.
I remember when I was a lad, times were hard and things were bad.
As you may know, PCJ has been running a contest until November called 7 Receivers in 7 Months. And we're running this contest on this program, as well as our weekly listeners' request program, The Happy Station Show. Now, as you're aware, to enter this contest, you don't send us an email. No, you need to call the PCJ answer line at +44 20 3286 1399. I have to tell you one thing. I'm very surprised at the response that we've been getting. It's kind of overwhelming. Like this entry that we had from India.
Hello, PCJ Radio. This is Shopan Chakraborty from Kolkata, India. I have seen independent review from Mr. Keith and many YouTube video about Sanjian ATS 909X receiver. Frankly speaking, I fell in love with this extraordinary receiver. Later saw that it is a great receiver for FM DXing also. so I can't resist myself winning a Sanjian ATS 909X. Another objective of being a winner is that many Indian DXR radio lovers look for quality digital world receiver with an affordable price. I want to check its quality with the first-hand experience and then can recommend to go for it. Don't know if I will get that opportunity of experiencing this receiver being a winner. Thank you.
Once again, if you want to enter the 7 receivers in 7 months contest, contact our answer line at +44 20 3286 1399. We will announce the winner for June at the end of the month, so stay tuned and enter today. Back in Radio Netherlands' heyday, a program that was listened to by many SWLs and DXers was DX Jukebox with Harry Van Gelder. Not too long ago, our good friend Bob Zanotti came across an interview he did with Harry in Sweden in 1967 at the DX Parliament. So now let's head back to the archives and take a listen.
Time to gather around four. DX Jukebox.
I believe you've been closely associated with the DX Jukebox on Radio Nederland.
Yes, I'm the producer. I present the program. The program is compiled by Jim Fastenhout, who used to be our propagation officer. He's gone over to television now, but he still keeps his hand in with Radio Nederland by compiling the material for DX Jukebox. He's also the author of our technical courses, the transistor course last year, the propagation course this year.
How did you standardize the format?
Oh, well, we call that in Dutch fallen and opstaan. It's falling and getting up again.
Trial and error, I guess.
The trial and error method, yes. We have a pretty good idea now what DXers want to hear. And, of course, we get a lot of mail and from the mail and from the suggestions DXers make, and we're very happy to have them. We know pretty well what to put on and what to leave out.
Mm-hmm. On the technical side, very briefly and very lightly, what is the capability as far as transmission facilities of Radio Nederland?
We have 300 kilowatt transmitters, one of 50 kilowatts, and a 10 kilowatt. And we're broadcasting from Hilversum at our relay station in Bonaire. At the moment, we're using airtime of Transworld Radio, but we're building our own station there. Just now we have a 260 kilowatt shortwave transmitter and a 525 kilowatt medium wave transmitter. Mm-hmm. In 1969 we hope to open our own station with 200-300 kilowatt transmitters.
Fine. During this meeting, the 1967 DX Parliament, we had the opportunity to be involved in a question and answer period between the DXers of the various organizations represented by DX Alliance and the broadcast representatives themselves. And several questions were asked by DXers in regard to QSLs and report forms and so on. Is there any important pieces of information or advice that you would like personally to give through your experience to DXers to help them out with their reporting forms or certain key pieces of information that you look for when you receive a report?
Yes, well, interrogation, let's call it that, shall we? Interrogation went on for about 2.5 hours, and there were many questions put. I think as far as reporting is concerned, that a lot of DXers imagine that if they send us taped reports that we're very happy to have them, but that is not the case. We're always very grateful to people who take such a lot of trouble, but we, and I suppose other radio stations too, you yourself, I suppose, will have monitors, regular monitors all over the world, and we have monitors who report on tape. Tapes take a long time to check, whereas if we get written reports, we can glance them through and we have all the information there. We prefer people to send us written reports. There's just one thing I'd like to add, and that is that if people want a QSL, then they must ask for it on their report. Otherwise, we assume that they don't want one. because some people have had it already and don't want another one. This applies especially to this special expo QSO we're issuing at the moment, because we've only printed 5,000 of them, and they're all numbered. So if they've had one already, it's better not to ask for another one.
Bob Zanotti speaking with Harry Van Gelder in 1967 at the DX Parliament in Sweden. Well, speaking of DX and SWLing, what can we expect over the next 7 days propagation-wise? Here's our propagation editor, Dan Hensley.
The 10.7-centimeter flux on June 2nd will be 110, on June 3rd, 115. The rest of the week from June 4th to June 8th will be 120. The A index starts out at 5 on June 2nd, jumps up to 8 on June 3rd, and then spikes at 15 on June 4th. On June 5th, the A index drops just a little bit to 12, continuing to drop to 10 on June 6th. On June 7th, the A index will be 8. On June 8th, it drops down to 5. The KP index on June 2nd will be 2, June 3rd, 3, June 4th, the KP index will be 4. On June 5th, 6th, and 7th, the KP index will be 3. On June 8th, a KP index of 2. Sunspot group 1486 is passing out of view with 1490 and 92 in view. As of May 29th, 2012, the sunspot number was very low at only 78. June 4th through June 6th brings us a high A index with a moderately high KP index, indicative of increased radio wave absorption, at least during the day, making for possibly good multiple-hop ground wave propagation. Nighttime propagation could vary the most during these 3 days. Propagation should be hit or miss on all other days of the week. Given the erratic temperatures, radio operations from VHF frequencies and higher could possibly see sudden bursts of temperature inversions. A large coronal hole is emerging over the sun's eastern limb. Solar wind flowing from the opening should reach Earth on June 6th or 7th. Back to you, Keith.
All right, thank you very much, Dan Hensley. And with that, we've come again to another edition of the program. Yeah, time just flew by. Our email address, if you wish to contact us and let us know what you think, is mnp@pcjmedia.com. And of course, you can find all past editions at our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. That's www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. So on behalf of Paulette Macquarie and Dan Hensley, this is Keith Perron wishing you well, and we'll see you again in 7 days' time. 73s to you all, and 88s to the ladies.